Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
I see you feeling it.
Another Tuesday. I was. Another Crab Feast for that. Ad. I felt that was one of those. I felt like I could have just kept going.
You look like Lionel Richie over there all night long, babe. All night long, son.
Good to see you, Jay Larson. Comedy.
Good to see you. I mean, we pre-record episodes sometimes or intros or whatever, but why we never pre-record? We've done so many touch pitches. We could just be like, hey, copy and paste that in. But for some reason, we do it every single damn
gotta
time.
Touch that pitch, bro.
Whew,
that's the only part we'll record and be like, cut the rest.
Totally.
We're going to send you the pitch touch today.
What's up, Feasters? Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Some dates coming up in July, Super Serious Show in L.A. I promote that one because I love them over there, and I'll be headlining and hosting that show. It's a really fun show with the Virgil, and then all my in-town dates will just be, I'll post them day of or day before at the store or whatever.
That's the 18th?
That's the 18th of July, baby. And then in August, Ryan and I will be out at the Petaluma Comedy Festival on August 18th doing a live Crab Feast during the day, and then we're both doing a show that night doing stand-up. So please come out to that. I know this is last minute, but Portland, I will be at Helium this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. One of my favorite cities in the country, some of the best comedy fans in the country. Excited to be back in Helium. I was there not too long ago, so it's not going to be a lot of new material. But I've been doing a lot of crowd work, and I'm going to do some fun crowd work up there with you guys. So please come out to Helium this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Preferably buy your tickets for Thursday and then the Friday shows or the late show Saturday because those are the best ones for me. Sickle Cell?
RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. You can stay up to date with our home run derby, which we have announced last week, but we'll be reminding you weekly. It is on August 25th.
It's and I got to say, yeah. I'm really proud of those guys out there pulling for you, man, because it means, you know what I mean? It's like, you could be, it's easy to be a Red Sox fan right now, but if you're an Oriole fan, it's tough. You know what I mean? You got to have your pride. You know what I mean? So I see a lot of people hitting me with Team Sickle, and I get it because they, you know what I mean? A lot of people hit me up Team Sickle, and I get it. You're rooting for the underdog. You know what I mean? I totally understand
it. Oh, man. It's funny when a team sucks forever and then all of a sudden catches a little fire for, you know, 10, 11 years. That's fun.
Try 20 years.
Of the Red Sox?
96, they were awesome with Nomar and Mo Vaughn.
Awesome's when you win a World Series. Okay, that's
okay,
what awesome
so-
is.
Yeah, when was the last time you guys won?
Well, not the last time, but still, 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, we were in the fucking ALCS in 2014.
You just said World Series, dude.
I did.
You said World Series. Don't throw ALCS at me.
60s, 70s, and 80s, we won World Series.
We went to the World Series in 86.
You went.
Yeah.
Went home without that ring, too,
didn't you? And then we took home three since 2004.
Well, that's 14 years. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing.
I'm
it's not
sure
three decades.
10. You know what I mean?
That's not three decades.
You've won one in each decade?
In the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
So you won back. So you have three just like we do, but we've won them all recently, and we're currently in first place.
We've been to six World Series.
Okay.
Okay.
And how many have you won?
We've won half of them.
Okay.
66, 70, 83.
We've been to five, and we're 3 for 5. So... And we'll see
when
this
you
year.
Get to six,
you know
talk.
Great team.
When you get to six,
yeah,
talk.
No, I hear you.
When you get to six,
I hear you. Last place. I'll be enjoying that sushi this year. You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm telling you,
play.
We're so bad.
Two-time play.
I bet my buddy that I'm rooting against my own team. I bet that we finished last place in baseball. The Royals are giving us a fucking run for our money right now. And every night I'm looking like, God damn, we lost.
At least got something to root for.
I think
for,
that's
you know?
What I got to root for, bro. TheCrabFeast.com for all your Crab Feast related information. Follow The Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter. You'll be able to get your information for anything Crab Feast related. Obviously, the festival in August. Also, our home run derby in August. Actually, That's the weekend after, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. We have a great sponsor, as always. ZipRecruiter is back with us. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/crab. You know, hiring used to be hard. You have multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. They send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab, C-R-A-B. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Well, the smartest thing you guys can do is listen up to this week's
episode. That's a good one right there.
Now, hey.
I want to give you credit.
Hey, thanks.
That's
player.
A good one.
You know what I mean? It's off, cup, it's off the cup, baby. It's off the cup, baby. I do want to say this episode's pre-recorded, and there was a funny moment within the podcast where Rye was trying to say Kentucky Derby, and he said Kentucky Derby. And we had a shirt made up, the Kentucky Derby, which is now available. Link is on the website. Go check that out. We're going to post it on social. It'll only be available for 3 weeks. It's a three-week campaign.
Do they go to the store, our store on the website?
We'll just have a link up on the website.
Homepage.
Yep. And just go over there, buy your shirt, and in 3 weeks, you'll have it. So it's pretty funny, and this is a great episode. Really excited.
Yeah.
You were trying to get this guy for a long time.
Almost
finally
said his
connected.
Name, almost ruined.
I know, like that intro when they do that shit. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Flacamagno!
Flacamagno!
Welcome to the Crab Feast!
Man, this is like 5 years in the making, Ryan?
Probably.
Yeah, dude.
5 years in the making.
You were on this two-book list
right.
for a long
Forever.
Time.
Right, right.
Forever. Like a number of different lists. Like, we've gone through different lists.
No,
that's a backup board right there, dude.
And I've known Ryan for so long. I remember when you first started doing this. And it was when I first came out. Yeah, dude. And then it started to get some notoriety, you know, in the city. People would say, in New York, they would say, hey, you know, the Crab Feast podcast. I go, oh, Ryan and Jay. I know those guys. So finally, I moved out to LA, and 2 years in, we end up doing this.
Well, welcome to the Crab Feast, brother.
Yeah, man. You haven't aged. You haven't aged. I mean, dude, you look great.
You say Ryan does look good, man.
Gray?
They look great.
You say gray?
I saw some people on social media been like, when did Sickler get gray?
Yeah. Yeah,
but people liking it, man.
I mean,
you carry it, baby.
What am I going to do about it?
Silver Fox!
As long as I'm still here, I don't give a shit. I still got a full head of hair, too, though. It's a nice thick head of hair.
I'll tell you this.
I don't care
I'll
if it's gray.
Would
you?
Oh,
gray hair?
Yes. I would love white hair. For a full head with white hair, done.
You definitely
I'm like wait like Kenny Rogers like that kind of
yeah like Sam Malone but like whatever Ted Danson
oh yeah that's right I always think of him in Cheers first but yeah he is stark white you're
yeah
right.
What
Anderson
I'm saying
Cooper.
Is Anderson Cooper it looks amazing
yeah.
You give me a thick head of hair I don't care what color it is.
wait got, so you fast forward you're balding and God is like listen I'm gonna give you your hair back.
First of all, I'm thinning right now. Like it's thin.
No, you got a nice. You got some nice.
That's what. And then when you know, let me tell you when you know you're thinning, is when you do a TV set or acting or a movie or whatever, and they bring out that little jar of powder that's got a little. Pff, and I'm like, well, what's going on there? Like, you know, it's just filling it a
but
little.
But do they even ask you first? They just bring it out.
They don't ask you.
Oh,
they tell you
up,
this
man.
Is going to make you look better.
Right.
I mean, they're like, based on what I'm seeing, I think you need this, brother. You know what I mean?
Like, they're like, you're not back here, man.
You don't know you're not you're seeing not what back I'm seeing. Here,
I remember the first time I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. But you know, when
are
you
I thought you were, honest to God, I thought you were going to say you went golfing and you got sunburn up there a little bit. That's what I thought you were gonna say. That's
no
how
but
you
my
knew.
Friend's girl the other day was like you guys should wear a hat or something and I was like for what and you're like you know so your head doesn't get sunburned. I'm like how why And I know I've always had thin hair, man, but it's starting to, now it's starting to thin. It's always been thin hair. Now it's thinning.
So would you rather, before we get to you here, just have to propose this question here.
No, we're
so,
in it, man. We're in it. We're in it.
Would you rather bald out like the circle here on the crown of your head, go out and
is
go,
that the
or,
crown?
Isn't that the crown?
The back there?
I'm not sure what you call it then. I thought that was
why
weird.
I
thought
people
that's
get
what Jack broke, but.
What?
Jack fell down and broke his crown, man.
Oh.
Jack and Jill.
I thought he was wearing an actual crown, man, like a king.
I thought he broke his head. Maybe he was. Maybe you're more creative.
You probably lost Vlad.
Oh, no, it turned to like a really weird version
but
of Pictionary. It was a weird. He was doing all this, and he was like, Kyle, he was looking at you, like shouting out what he was seeing.
King. Would you rather go bald here
in
on
the back.
Top or recede until it goes back? Which one first?
I don't know, man.
If you had to pick one.
I mean, think, I'm going to, I think recede.
I don't know.
Because there's a lie, that whole thing in the back. You know, Costner, man, he rocked that receding hairline. He'd look all right.
Costa?
No, Kevin Costner.
Oh, Costa with that goddamn Boston accent. I was like, wait.
Mike Costa.
And the award goes to Mike Costa.
Kevin Costa sitting there like, are you fucking
are you
kidding,
kidding me? Are you kidding me?
All right, man. Before we get into telling some more stories, would you please feel free to promote your social media, your dates, anything, albums, whatever you got.
Everything on social media is Laughing Vlad, LaughingVlad, Laughing Vlad, Instagram, Laughing Vlad, Twitter, Laughing Vlad, Facebook, LaughingVlad.com website.
What about Pinterest? What are you on Pinterest?
Laughing Vlad. Also on Pinterest, actually.
You got it everywhere.
I got it everywhere, man. Yeah. Oh, I took care of that.
Nobody
yeah.
had that?
Nobody just had
some
that.
Some clown out in Minnesota.
Like this motherfucker.
The problem is telling an audience, you guys can follow me at VladimirCamagno.com.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I'm not listening. The marketing
team. Did he
team,
say it had a tilde? Did he say it had a tilde?
A tilde.
That's the squiggly line.
Yeah, it is.
That's a little mustache up there.
So because of that's why I had Laughing Vlad. The marketing team is not crazy about that title, but you know, we have the domain, you know.
You got a marketing team?
I was about to say, you said
the marketing. You have to make it sound as if you are.
That's a good point.
I have a startup.
Yeah, are you on the road at all right now, or is that all on your website?
Also, can they go see the dates? All my dates are on my website. I'm excited because I'll be playing Gotham for 4 shows in July, Gotham Comedy Club.
Great.
Which is New York hometown. I'm doing Bananas in New Jersey in August, and I'm going to Missouri in September, Arizona in October. So, I got some
Missouri,
dates.
Missouri, huh?
It's a place called the Blue Room.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait. Is that where? In St. Louis?
I just think it's Missouri. I don't think it's St. Louis. Could be. I'll check.
Maybe it's Branson.
Let me know, man.
Maybe he's going to be out there with...
Could be KMO, too, man. I know some Missouri cities.
What? KMO, too?
Kansas City, Missouri is also a Missouri city.
Yeah, I have my first time going there, so I know.
Well, get out and see him, Missouri. Goddamn.
Yeah, they requested me, so they apparently got some fans out there.
Very good.
So we will see.
Go do it, baby. So I want to talk about first of all how we met, but we also have a very interesting two side weird connections.
Yeah. Yeah, we both went to the hospital for the rash at the same time.
Yeah, same time.
And we were looking at each other like, oh, you too.
So we met met in an NBC diversity showcase. Mm-hmm. I was the straight one. I was the straight
only
white
straight
dude
white
that crept
dude.
Into the diversity.
And I was hunting, dude. I was hunting. I remember I meet Ryan, and in my head I'm going, listen, there's multiple definitions for diversity. I said, let me meet him and see if there's anything diverse about him.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something there that
adversity.
I don't know.
Adversity. It's adversity when it comes
and it was
to
all
it.
Adversity, dude. It was just a white guy.
Like, man, he's got it all.
But I made it to the finals.
And then what happened was that Ryan was a nice guy. And I was like, he's not diverse, but he's a nice guy. And we just hit it off. We hit it off. And
for him to hit it off with you is a testament to who Ryan is. Because here he is at a diversity showcase where people of diverse backgrounds are trying to get a leg up. And this is before it was like everybody was like... You know, all about diversity.
Yeah, way before, you know, Oscar So White, way before all that, like all that stuff.
And fuck, if I were you, I would have been like, this fucking motherfucker's white. He's white, you know.
Here's my point. No one on that showcase should have taken any exception to me because I didn't fuck them out of a spot. It would make sense to me if other people that got bumped,
you actually
like,
helped them
that guy.
By getting to the finals because you knew there was no chance you were winning.
I was funny, too. I came in with thunder. I had that crowd laugh, and I was good. And
you sound like a 70-year-old man. I'm like, I'll tell you that night. I got up there, boy.
Look, man, my skin's not diverse, but my background is diverse. I have a diverse background.
You have a diverse group of places adversity. You lived.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, jobs and all that.
Yeah,
so,
cars you've lived in.
Yeah, that's why I looked at it like that. But I flew myself out there. I put myself up in a dump. I mean, a motel, a dump. It was a dump. I was scared. I'm not even going to lie. I was scared to stay in there. Because you could just kick that door open.
How much
open
you pay tonight?
I don't think it was $100.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say like 59.
Yeah, it's probably between 59 and 79, somewhere right around there. And it was 115 degrees. The air condition was a wall unit. And I couldn't sleep because I would count. It would turn on for 9 seconds and then turn off. It just couldn't last. It was so.
Now, what I want to know is like the story of origin. So who told you about the diversity showcase?
Okay.
And then who said, you know what? I saw this flyer for diversity.
I thought of you. So I went to our friend Mike Duffy's wife. I think her birthday is exactly during the day they do the Kentucky Derby, or right around the day they do the Kentucky Derby.
I'll tell you right now, out of both derbies, the Kentucky and the Kentucky, I love the Kentucky. The Kentucky Derby, man.
As the prequel.
I knew you liked that.
$2 beers. The Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
The Kentucky's expensive, but the Kentucky.
The Kentucky.
Dude, hey, you get a hot dog for 75 cents.
They got a pony inside a horse.
Man.
At the Kentucky.
Yeah. There's a nice dice game downstairs during the off hours. Whew.
Yeah.
It's the Kentucky Derby. Shout out to the Kentucky Derby for sponsoring the Crab
Feast. I'll be there next year.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And it'll just be all ducks.
Yeah, and ducks and you know. I mean, the problem is.
So I'm at this Kentucky Derby party, and it was Kendra. Kendra was there.
Kendra Carter.
And she had remembered me from a project I did with Segura called Cutman way back when she was on the Comedy Central side. Or Spike. I think she was actually at Spike, but they shared like a floor, you know, so they were all close with each other. So she said to me, she said,
remembered him from a project, remembered a couple other guys in the diversity from the projects.
Right. It's called the Venn diagram, the overlap.
Now, this is a black woman.
Yes.
Who said to me, I've seen you do comedy. I think you'd be really good for this. Here's what I'll do. I'll put you past the preliminary round automatically to...
Already white privilege.
The from a black woman, too. To the semis. If...
Jay Larson for three.
Isn't that when we met? It was the semis that night, right?
No, I met you at the finals.
Quarterfinals? How deep does this go?
I met you at the finals.
We didn't meet... That's right. We met at the Comedy Store, not Arizona. Yeah. That's right. So she said the closest one to, I think there was like a Phoenix, a Chicago, and a couple other ones around the country, bro.
Yeah, it was a national call. Yeah.
So I flew myself to Phoenix. I put myself up in that dump. I went and crushed.
I mean, they gave him a stipend.
They gave me $1,500. I crushed a set at Stand Up Live. I think isn't that the club where the bar's outside? We were going to do, we did our podcast in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stand Up Live. That's where it was.
That was there then?
Yeah. And
how many years ago this? 5 years, right?
Maybe longer.
It was 13.
Was it 13?
It was 13. Okay, 5 years ago. Yeah, 13.
So then I didn't really know anybody. So I just went back to and got some lunch after I did my set, and then I went back to that little dump. And you had to wait there, and they were going to call you. They're calling everyone, and they would mention the names of the people who were cut. Not the people that made it.
Oh, so that's messed up.
Yeah. So if you didn't hear... Well, maybe I have it wrong. Maybe it was just the names of the people who made it. Maybe that's what it was. I might have that wrong.
The following people did not make it.
I don't think they were that cut.
Did not.
I think it was just the people that made it. And my name was on it. And I listened to it again.
It's like a recording? Somewhere.
Yeah,
you call the number?
You call the number, yeah. And then they say...
Is that how you had it too?
Yeah, they
Where were you?
I was in New York.
Okay.
And it was my third year auditioning. Maybe my second year auditioning. And you call the number and they say, hey, the following people have made it to the semifinals. Please show up at such and such club at this time.
That's right.
And then you know, your friends start calling. Yo, I heard your name on the thing. You get the congratulation calls, you know, because everyone calls that line. So,
yeah.
You know, then they all come out that night to see you.
Yeah, then went out. I don't think we did that night, though. I don't. Maybe we did go back that night. Maybe that night was the finals. And
in Arizona.
Arizona finals.
Where was yours?
You had to do two sets.
I had my finals at, was it Gotham? No, wait, where were the finals? I'm trying to remember. So the semifinals with the Comedy Cellar, The auditions. And then the finals, I think, was at a... Man. I think it was... Maybe it was Caroline's. I forget, man. That's a good question.
Caroline. And we had Tone Bell was hosting because he had won it, I believe, the year before.
Tone won it the year before.
Right?
Shout out to Tone Bell.
And I went back, had a good set, and then didn't know anything until I came back to L.A. And then like 2 weeks later, they said, oh, you made the finals. So I was one of the top 10 that would perform at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles to wrap it all up. And that's where we met.
That's so crazy, man.
Yeah, that's how I
So
got
wait,
there.
So she knew you from a previous project, but mm-hmm. did she know you from stand-up?
Like, yeah, she also knew my stand-up. Okay. And she said, you know, I know your material. I think you would do well.
Right.
But... the trade-off is you got to get yourself to Phoenix, and if you do well, that's it. I'll just put you through that.
The trade-off is
that was
it. You don't have to be diverse.
Yeah, I don't have to be diverse.
That's the trade-off.
And then, yeah, that was it.
And then we ended up, then Ryan and I, so what happens is after the competition, they set up these meetings with some of the creative executives at NBC. You meet mm-hmm. the casting department. So for whatever reason, our appointments were structured that they were together. So I think he went in first and I went in. But because of that, we got to hang out in the lounge prior to going in. And then we talked about where he's from, you know, Maryland and all that. And we kicked it. And then we just stayed in contact over the years. And then fast forward to later, I have a family friend out here. His name is Lucas mm-hmm. Aragon, who's a...
Lucas Aragon!
Lucas Aragon.
I know him. He said that name to me the other night, and I had to slow it down and play it in my head in like the way I would say Aragon.
Yeah.
You know, that's because that's how I
Who's
I was
a character
like,
from
a
fucking Lord of the Rings?
Right, he is. That's right. Is that the arrow guy? The elf? That's the Orlando Bloom character.
Oh,
right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Hold on real quick. You know where we met?
Where did you guys meet?
We met at the Puerto Rican International Comedy Festival. And we were in the quarters.
It's true. We finished.
What would be,
we finished
what would be your set, Jay? What would be your set
second.
At the Puerto Rican? What would be
I would do a lot of shit on Tildes.
What would be your set? I would love to hear it. I just picture Seinfeld doing a set at the Puerto Rican International Comedy
totally
Fest.
What are you guys? What's with your parade?
What's the deal with the parade?
He'd crush, I bet.
Yo, man, Seinfeld gets love everywhere.
Have you seen him, the Letterman? You know Letterman's new series
Dude,
on Netflix.
I'm so mad. That
Have
they
you seen the Seinfeld one?
No,
I'm so
not
mad.
Yet.
I'm so mad they didn't promote it. You know because the Howard Stern one they gave the alert. Yeah. And then it says bonus. It says bonus Seinfeld Letterman.
Well, it's short. It's only like 43 minutes.
Yeah,
or something
but
like that.
There was no mention of it. You have to go in the more
just
episodes.
See it.
Yeah.
It's tight though.
It's really good.
It's funny. Oh, so you saw it?
Yeah. It's just. Yeah. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it.
This is not a total spoiler, but it's just interesting to see how Dave is so unaware of how good he was.
Yeah, but at the same time, we were playing the other coin, my wife and I, because Jerry just kept telling him like how amazing he was, how he changed television.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, stop it. Letterman was like, just stop it, would you? And then he said something like, you know, basically Jerry said, when we do stand-up, we're changing people's lives. We're making them feel good. You know, it's not like we're doing it for ourselves. And Kate pauses and she looks at me, she goes, do you think Jerry's like just trying to justify the fact that he's like an egomaniac? And I'm like, yeah, of yeah. course. All stand-ups are egomaniac. We're not. Yes, we love seeing people feel good, but we're doing it because we feel good.
And you know what's funny about that you say that? Because Seinfeld definitely is an ambitious dude.
Big time. Like,
just ambitious.
Yeah.
So just to say it like that, like, oh, I'm just here to make people happy. No, there's a sense of ambition and drive and
for sure
wanting to be the top dog.
My favorite thing in the whole thing was Letterman goes, what do you do for vacation? What have you been doing for vacation? He goes, what do you think I do, Dave? I go to amazing places. Amazing. He goes, where would you go if you were me? Basically saying, I'm worth $1 billion.
Yeah, and
billion.
I'm that honest about it.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's funny because it can come off as smug.
Yeah.
But when Seinfeld says it, you go, you know what? It's the honest truth. He's literally traveling to the best hotels, the
and
best
like,
places.
Yeah, why not, you know?
I like the Stern interview, too. I thought the Stern one was good.
I haven't
good.
Seen it. I got to check
Stern
it out.
Stern was good.
I just love seeing Letterman just do his thing.
Yeah, but he's living it.
I like the beard.
Yeah.
I like the beard.
I don't.
A lot of people like, see, yeah, it's a bit of a controversy.
It's by the way,
huge rampant, dude.
I mean,
how do you say rice in Spanish?
Arroz.
Oh, I'm thinking it's Lucas's last name for a second.
Oh my god!
I was like, wait, is he Lucas Rice? Yeah, but I was I was working for Oprah at the time, and Lucas was as well. And his is are they married?
They are
him and Oprah.
Wait.
Joe, right?
Joe is married. Yes.
They're
Joe,
married.
Yeah.
Lucas and Joe are married. And one day, Joe's like, "Oh, you got to meet my cousins. You know, these they're the cringe humor guys." And I was like, "Oh man, I'd love to meet them." And it's Chris Italia and his brother,
brother Paul.
And we had a great time. And that's how I got to meet Chris, who's you know owns the stand and. He was booking Fallon for a minute.
They were
too.
Booking Fallon for a brief period of time.
Yeah. So and then you were repped or you managed by him, right?
I managed by Chris. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
So then I see them again, and I'm just like, holy shit! You know, our paths crossed that way. And then I move into this building I'm in right now, and one night I'm out talking to our friend Jen. Sup, girl? And she's like, "Oh, you do comedy?" And she goes, "Do you know Vlad?" And I'm like, "Of course." I go, "I can't even believe this right now. You know Vlad?" She's like, "Oh, I work at this gym and he works out there." So the other night she and I are hanging out and he's calling FaceTime and she just puts it on me and I was like, "What's that?"
Buddy? And I ended up talking to him for like the entire phone call because
he thought he was calling Jeff.
He's calling me now, actually, Chris.
Hilarious.
So our paths just keep crossing. You know, Lucas is a family friend. Jen works at the gym that I used to train at. And what's my girl saying? Sorry, my girl texted me. Perfect. Okay. So
she's got him on lockdown.
No, my lady's texting me because I'm doing San Antonio.
Come, my lady. Come, my lady. Be my butterfly.
We're going to San Antonio tomorrow, so we're like just you know a little giddy right now, a little happy.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, babe, going to San Antonio? Yeah,
she's like,
night.
I can't wait to get on that river walk. Oh, because you're here and she's there.
No, we're meeting down there. So.
Right, but I'm saying so that's why you're giddy because you're going to see each other.
We're going to see each other tomorrow, and you know we're going
to
have some fun.
And you treat her right, man. Taking to San Antonio.
You know
shit.
What I mean?
That was where Seinfeld said family trips was.
That's where he goes.
You know what I mean?
I take her to San Antonio, baby.
River walk.
All they
baby.
Do down there is win championships. That's all they do.
That's all they do.
That's it.
You know what I mean? The Riverwalk, it's kind of like the mini Europe of America. You know what I'm saying, Jay?
Just like Europe.
You know what
there.
I mean?
Yeah.
Welcome to Venice, babe. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
Take you to Staten Island for a cruise. Right now. You know what I mean?
So I didn't know this about you. You don't drive.
Dude,
I saw you had said I don't drive. How do you get around LA? I mean, just all Ubers and Lyfts?
Uber, Lyfts, and Subway, depending on the location. So,
do you know how to drive?
I have a license. I have a license.
To fish or to fucking drive? We're talking about driving, bro.
Man, he pulled in some smallmouth like a motherfucker.
So you have a California driver's license?
I have a New York State. I have a New York State driver's license. And well, the thing is, first of all, like I just want to get this out. Like, two things are up with this. One is that I grew up in New York. So you don't need a car because it's all Subway and even to get to Westchester. So I didn't need a car. And then the problem is that my dad, my dad's an old school dad. And we grew up in the Bronx during the crack epidemic. So my father was deathly afraid of me going anywhere on just walking. So he would drive me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had to go a couple blocks to get like paper towels, oh, I'm drive me down there. So I have this association of cars where, number one, I don't need them. And two, my father drove me everywhere. So fast forward, I'm like 27. I don't have a license, and I'm afraid, man.
Oh, really?
I don't like merging. merging.
I ain't merged. Fuck that shit, man. Pull over. I ain't merging. Man.
You don't like getting into traffic?
I hate merging. Fucking people like you when I'm out there driving.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
It ain't a stop sign. It's a yield sign.
What, this is
keep
why.
Going.
See,
there's
that,
a lane.
That,
you slow roll. You slow roll and you punch.
There's
it,
a
man.
Lane for yeah, you, though. That's what I'm saying.
That anger that I feel, it scares me. That angst, that contempt you feel for me bothers me.
Oh, shit.
I see it in your eyes, dude. You hate me right now.
There's hate. I see those people all the time, and I'm just like, the fuck you doing? You're getting people in. You're dangerous.
I'm that guy.
Have you ever driven?
I've driven. I owned a car once, which is part
What'd
of a
you
joke.
Own?
I mean, dude, you can take a guess. I'm Dominican from New York.
Was a Honda?
Correct.
78 little CVCC?
No. Close, though. It was. I'm going to let you guess.
I would go with the 82. you got a Prelude?
No, dude, 93 Civic.
Civic. All right, out of 90. Civic. Original rims? Or
original
you...
rims. I got it from my aunt. I do a joke about this because... Like, my father loves a Honda Civic, dude. Like, the Honda Civic, the 93 one, my family loves it, dude. The Honda Civic, you have a 93 Honda Civic. The 93 Honda Civic, oh, my God, the Honda Civic. Like, So when I got it, it was a big deal, dude. Like, that's the Batmobile for my family.
But you got it from your aunt?
Got it from my aunt, and bring it over.
Did you buy it, or did she give it to you?
I gave her some money. She wanted to give it to me, but yeah. We gave her some money. And I think I gave her like $700. And I remember I called for the insurance, and they told me that this is the most robbed car in New York. 93 Honda Civic. You're because
like, not according to my dad. And what year is this?
This was I had my whip in New York.
Now
in New York we call them whips.
Yeah,
we call them whips.
Any car, right, apparently.
So I got my whip. I think it was 2005, 2006. No, I'm sorry. It was 08.
08 2008.
08
on 93.
15 year old car.
How many miles?
Let me guess. I'm gonna say 240.
No, so it was.
I'm gonna go because it's New York. I'm gonna go 111.
No, here's the crazy part. So this is where my dad also comes in.
Bill Keith.
The car, my father.
It's gonna be some crazy shit like 68,000 miles or something stupid like that.
Well, this is my dad. Like, my dad also loves cars, and so the car had about, I think it was 180k or something like that. But my aunt lived in Long Island. So my father's like, I said, Dad, this is a lot of miles.
Had 180?
A 180, like, maybe, I'm sorry.
It's not bad
no,
for
no, maybe, I'm sorry,
years.
Even less. I like 140. 140, 150. And I go, Dad, it's, you know, it's a lot of miles. What do I know, right? I don't know. He's like, my father goes, no, but look up, what happened? It's Long Island. It's not the city. Long Island. What my dad is trying to say is that city miles
are way more taxing than
yeah. Long Island miles. Yeah. So it's no 140. It's 77.
76.
It's 77.
It's half of a little.
It's 77 because Long Island. It's Long Island. You know what I'm saying?
I love that you say your dad loves cars. Like if Jerry Seinfeld met him, he's like, "Hey, Vlad tells me you're a car guy." He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "What do you got?" He's like, "I have a '93 Civic."
That's what Seinfeld will pull up to pick him up for the story.
Meeting the cars, getting coffee.
Dog, it would be an honor to get picked up in a souped-up '93 Honda Civic. Dog.
I'm with you. I would take a 1990 Honda Civic. That car was so good to me. I got about 275,000 out of that car.
What was the final breaking point?
The head on. I was just taking it up into the canyons and down. I lived in the valley and coming over here doing just boom, boom, boom. And it finally it was only a little four cylinder. It fucking the head cracked. I could have fixed it, replaced it, but it was
Didn't
so much money
too,
at
though?
That point. Yeah. So then this dude came over and he bought it and towed it out. And I still have the key, the original key. And then I saw he put some fake.
What do you do with that key,
man? I'm going to save it. I'm going to take that picture of my Honda Civic at the Playboy Mansion. I'm going to put the key. I'm going to frame it somehow with the key
man.
In it.
The shadow box.
Yeah, that's right. Shadow box. But anyway, the guy just threw it up on Burbank Boulevard with a for sale sign, and it cleaned it up a little. He probably fixed the head, and he threw plastic hubs over my original rims. And I saw it one day. I'm like, I know that's my car. I've had that car for years. So I called. And I was like, "Are you the original owner?" He's like, "Yup." He lied about everything. I was like, "Car ever been in any accidents?" He's like, "Nope." And I know how many accidents I've been in it. And he's like, "Why are you asking so many questions?" I said, "Well, my son's turning 16. It's his first car. I want to make sure I'm putting my kid in a safe car. So I'm going to ask everything I want to ask." That was a good answer.
That's a great answer.
Meanwhile, I'm asking. He's like, "Eh, no, it's not for you." That's what he said to me. He hung up.
I think once he brought the kid in, the guilt.
Yeah.
The guilt came in. But you know about cars because your dad was a.
I know. I mean, my dad worked at the airport. I mean, I know a little, but not anything about today's cars. Nothing. I couldn't work. I can't work on a car today. It's all computers
and
everything.
You have the face of an honest mechanic, doesn't he? Like, is an honest mechanic?
I don't know about honest. I've never been told honest.
Really?
Like, I've been told mechanic.
Put a dirty rag on your shoulder. You know what I mean? Some oil stains.
Well, he's got that jacket. I mean,
you look like I would trust your labor charges.
Thanks.
Like, I would trust you.
You also trusting your dad with 77,000. On a 140K car.
I wouldn't gouge you in labor. I'd get you in parts, though, man. I'd upsell you in parts like a son of a bitch. Oh, no. These seals right here are going to be about 1500 right here. But look, I'm going to do the labor for you by half price. Just jack it up on the parts and blame it on them. It's not on me. I'm the good guy.
So I've never dealt with mechanics. I've never dealt with, for the brief period of time I owned my Honda Civic, my father was literally parking his car in my car. He was moving it around because I was doing spots at night or whatever.
And street parking.
So my father was like my valet for the time that I owned that car, and he loved it. He's like, I got to move the Honda Civic. I got to move it.
He just getting out of the house for some sanity.
Dog, and you think about New York and how crazy it is to park.
Yeah.
To find spaces, He did it with two cars.
Yeah.
And he did it with so much gusto and pleasure because he loves that car. Dude.
What did he do when you were growing up? What was his job?
My father was a superintendent of a building. He's a handyman inside a 68-unit building.
Damn.
Yeah, 68 units. He's the mayor.
The one guy?
The one guy, mayor, architect, police, healthcare. He does it all. The guy's the walking warden, principal, you know, HR department, the whole thing.
So he can fix cars.
My father can fix small things, but when it comes to parts and labor, he has to go out because he doesn't have the right parts.
Yeah.
But he can look at it and go, you know, they tramichum. You know, he'll look at it. They tramichum. The tramichum no good. You know that. And then, you know, he's obsessed with parking, dude. My father's obsessed with parking.
Like spots?
Like just if he, I told my, you know.
Like,
I
was it like a game to him? I got to find one?
It's a game and he will not lose. Will not lose.
Has he ever gotten a ticket?
Oh, when he gets a ticket, first of all, my father knows the parking attendants in the neighborhood. Says happy birthday. You know, he knows that.
Shit.
Oh yeah, Carlo, happy birthday.
Remember I said that to you.
35. So my father's obsessed with parking, dude. Like he knows that. Like it's funny watching him read parking signs. Because, you know, it's hard enough for me, but he look at it and he there's one time we were outside, he's like, oh, no parking anytime. No parking any. You can't park never.
Couldn't even fathom it. Like, how is that possible?
It was my, you can't park never. Like, there's no at all. Shit. So he was parking two cars at once. And
I mean, he'd find L.A. like heaven. Like,
oh, yeah. It'd be too easy. It'd be too easy for him. Yeah.
It'd be way too
I don't know what accent I'm doing. But.
It doesn't matter, dude. The essence is
you
there.
You get it.
So I ended up never driving it. And then I moved out to California because I had a pilot with NBC that I sold, and they were like, "Hey, we'll give you money for Uber, a monthly allotment." So I didn't have to drive when I got out here. And then when I was on the road doing colleges or road work, typically the club will pick you up from the airport,
right. Mm-hmm.
Or you get a ride from the college.
Yeah.
So I never drove, dude, and like, I'm afraid of merging. I'm afraid of parallel parking.
Afraid of parallel? I get the merging. You could get run over, hit, crash, whatever. What the hell are you scared of parallel?
Put it this
parking?
Way. The longer you don't do something, the more afraid or not wanting to do it you're going to get. Like, my brother hasn't owned a car in years now. And
really?
Yeah. Doesn't. Lives in Boston, just doesn't own a car.
But when he comes here, does he rent a car and drive it?
Yeah, or Dave will. No. Okay.
No, he doesn't.
Only when he came with Dave did they rent a car. Or I gave him I can't remember. But
and I try to find people that don't drive and use them as almost a part of my defense when I'm getting prosecuted. So someone will be like, yo, you got to drive, dude. You're an adult. I'm like, yo, you know Gilbert Gottfried doesn't drive, right?
Yeah. You know who else doesn't drive? Who? Is Norm MacDonald.
See, I need this. I need to give me more names. Yeah, I need
my
names.
Grandmother, Carmella Sickler, didn't drive either.
At all?
No. Well, my Nana, too.
City bus.
She was 86.
City bus.
We'd pick her up and drop
her. Or everybody else took her, you know.
She never drove.
That's exactly. Brings up a good question, though, because my ex's grandmother used to drive, and she was a great woman, but there was always, and I hate this, there was always...
Terrible driver, great there woman, was always, terrible driver.
But I'll tell you this, she could merge like a motherfucker.
Shut up!
Great
you shut up, Jay, you shut up. You shut up, nah, but there's always, because her vision wasn't that good, and so, you know, you don't want to be an ageist, but there's a part of you like, I don't know if she's in the right...
Totally. Well, like, my Aunt Rue, man, when she got later on, we took her car away. Because she went through the drive-through bank.
You guys repoed internally. It was an internal
repo. So she went to the drive-through bank and tried to make a deposit, and it was the fucking drive-through pharmacy. She was at the pharmacy trying to make a deposit. She thought it was the bank. And in her driveway, the bushes would, at the end of the driveway, be smaller than the ones up front because every time she'd be turning out of there, she'd be clipping bushes. They got smaller as you went down the driveway. So I was home visiting one time that she had... She wouldn't let them take the car away, and I was like crazy tight with her. So I was home, and I'm like, Auntie, listen, we're taking the car. And she lived a town away from my mom. And she's like, I understand. I'm like, it's nothing to you. Like, we have to do it. The police have called a number of times. Like, people reporting her and shit, swerving down Grove Street.
Why'd you guys wait so long? Why'd you guys wait?
Because they couldn't get it. She wouldn't do it. So I take the car, and it's literally like on my way to the airport, I take it. My mom follows me home. We drop the car off. I get in the car, and she drives in the airport. I'm like, you see how easy that was? She goes, yeah. Land in L.A. My mom calls. She's like, she came and stole the car back.
She had a spare.
Stole it.
She took a cab over there and stole her fucking car
over
back.
Fucking stole it.
Wait a minute.
She's
wait
like,
a
no
minute.
No fucking dice. Give
wait
me that
a minute.
Dog,
hold on.
Back.
Wait, this is a heist. The problem is she had another set of keys.
She didn't. Yeah. Care. Yeah. Take those keys.
Oh, yeah. All right. By the way, she had a 94 Chevy Cavalier, and this was like 2000. Oh, man. When 2006 or something? And that car had 24,000 miles on it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always cases like that.
Yeah, my grandmother had a Buick.
Yeah.
Cases?
She was a case. She had a case. She had a Buick, and it was strictly a grocery getter. And I think, I don't know how many years she had it, but I was under 10,000 miles on that fucking car when she sold it. And that's somebody's getting a brand new car. You know what I mean? It's older, but it's there's
no miles.
It's not
brand new. 10,000 miles
on it. There's nothing on it. Nothing.
Are they original rims?
They were original rims.
She souped
up that little Buick sedan, little four-door sedan.
You one of those guys? Once it leaves the lot, the price goes down.
Yeah. I don't buy new and I don't lease. Those are my rules.
Is that like one of your major points of dad advice when your kids grow up? Like, you're going to make sure you nail that home?
Oh,
because I've met so many dads that drill that into their kids. Once the car leaves the lot, it loses value.
You just lost 8 grand, man.
If I ever told you to touch anything.
That's the truth.
Right there. I got two rules. One, it devalues when it goes down, and two, Staten
I want to ask you guys, what is your dad thing that you're going to drill home? Every dad has one quirky thing that they drill into their kids.
Oh, go ahead. What did you start, Jay?
What's your dad thing?
Oh,
for example, like my dad, like I feel like dads always like give their kids weird rules. Like my dad was big on having boots by the door.
Oh, I see.
Boots by the door. As a man, he'd always say to me, like he would drill this to me, make sure I want it. When I come see you, when you're married, you got your house, I need boots by the door. I need boots by the door.
And like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, like every you have them, you just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a quirk that's strictly Jay and you know, and Ryan. It's like, and your kids, all right, Dad, I get
pass
it.
Pass that I've shit on.
Yeah, I have no idea yet. But I mean, the only thing that like I say all the time is there's a solution for everything. That's like one of our mantras in the house. I'm like, there's a solution for everything. Take a deep breath. That's it.
Is that more for your kids or for you?
No, that's for them. Like, is that for listen, you? Every single thing that there is, there's a solution for it.
Right,
that's the thing. I don't have any little things yet about, like, I mean, you know, he comes in and puts his shoes where his shoes go. So does she. But that's not like because I'm like, I want my shoes by the door. I'm interested to see what I do turn into.
Well,
do you have any?
Yeah.
I say the same thing. Be a problem solver is what I say all the time.
You guys are on the same page.
Be a problem solver. And, I do say, because I'll give my daughters two things, and she'll be like, can I get three? And I always tell her, you'd be happy with what you get, and you don't complain. And she'll repeat that shit back to me.
Well, they say it at our kids' school. They say, you get what you get. You get what you get, and it's don't complain.
They taught me that.
That's what they say at
school. You get what you get, and don't complain. That's where the school taught me that.
You get what you get, don't complain?
You get what you get, and you don't complain. You got two. Don't dare ask for three. You've got two. So I take one away. I go, well, we'll just do this then. No. I'm like, all right, then there you go.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm so happy
I like
to
do math with it.
I'm so happy I'm out of school, man.
About what?
I'm so happy I'm out of school. When I think back on those days of being in school.
How old are you?
36.
You've been out of school a long time,
I'm
man.
So happy, dude. I'm relieved every day.
Did you go to college?
I went to college.
Where?
I went to Wesleyan University.
Wesleyan. Oh, where is that?
Middletown, Connecticut? Yeah.
Okay.
Wesleyan, baby. We got a fucking smart kid in here.
I was
so dumb. I didn't know it was a smart school.
I'm smart, dude.
Is Wesleyan
you
purple?
You went to Harvard.
Are you purple colors?
Harvard? Black and red.
Black and red. So what's the dub? Williams.
Cardinal. Williams is the purple cow.
Yeah.
Purple cow, which is the laughing stock of every
small
arts.
There's a school
arts,
with a purple cow mascot? Arts.
Yeah, and called Williams, which I applied to. And they're way up in the boonies, dude. They're like all the way up in the boonies. My friend went there, and I went to visit him, and I'm talking rural, you know, and purple cow.
But what was Wesleyan? Where was that at?
Wesleyan was in Middletown, Connecticut. It was a Cardinal, and some of our alumni is myself, Josh Whedon. Josh Whedon. He directed the first Avengers, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
And then Lin-Manuel Miranda went there.
Wow.
He was a year ahead of me. I believe Michael Crichton went there. And I think the guy that wrote the Bourne Identity series also went there.
All right, you know what? All fuck right. This shit. Who? He's just making shit up now. He's like,
no.
I'm pretty sure Kevin Costner went to my junior college. Pretty sure he was there. I saw.
He went to Cal State Fullerton.
I'm pretty sure David Lee Roth went to my community college. Let me see that list. Over
didn't Matt Damon go to your community college?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Good Will Hunting. That was Good Will Hunting. I'm sorry. That was a whole different guy. Whole different guy. Did you see that movie and was like, that's exactly how community college is? Like, is that?
No, because I knew what.
Or were you like, they got it all wrong?
Our community college was, there's no, it was a campus, but it was just a circle. You know, it was a big ass circle and with parking lots off of it. And that was it.
And to community college is 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Got my AA, all my credits transferred. I did it right. I want to hear, so you've got some stories on this list here. I want to hear the first time you smoked weed.
Oh my God, dude. College at Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm. Did you drink in high school?
I don't drink at all.
Do you smoke weed now, or is this just the first time you tried it?
First time I tried it. But the first
your dad did a real good job. If there was a crack epidemic going on.
Well, dude, you have to people forget how bad it was, dog. Like, I don't know how bad it was in parts of Mass, but you were in Maryland, right?
I was in Maryland, but the city was obviously ravaged.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
The kids I graduated with, their younger siblings were the ones that got into the heroin and the pills. Like, it was that generation where it was really bad where I grew up. It wasn't like that for my.
So it kind of flipped. Like,
yeah, I'd say 6-7 years after I graduated, maybe close to 10. That's when like that fucking heroin epidemic hit out in the suburbs. Hit hard, real hard.
I mean, you know, you see the Vicodin and the heroin is crazy, dude. So that's what we were seeing, you know, growing up. Like, you see people like leaning over, drive-by shootings. And you see that as a kid and you kind of go, I'm not touching drugs, man. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from that. I didn't do any drug. I don't do any, you know, I didn't do any drink, anything like that. And then in college, my friend, we smoked one night. And
it's your first time smoking weed?
First time smoking weed, and I only did it because my roommate had also not smoked weed. And my friend said, yo, like, you guys haven't done this, let's have some fun tonight. So we smoke, and as you know, that first time you smoke weed is like your body had never had it, so the high is just bananas. And we ended up doing like a rap cipher for like 45 minutes, just spitting in this like cipher. Mm-hmm. I never rapped.
Tell me your first time you ever rapped was coincidentally the first time you ever smoked
the
weed.
First time I've dabbled in high school with a couple like rhymes, but I was like literally freestyling for what it felt like 10 minutes at a clip, and we were all just going in freestyling, and it was no inhibition. I was just rapping, and then I come down from the cipher. I say it like it's like a regular thing I do. I come down from the cipher and I go to the kitchen. And I see
KRS-None. Give me a motherfucking Budweiser. You smart motherfucker that can't rap.
I mean, you know, we apparently we thought we killed it. We thought we slayed it with lyrics, and we was like, yeah, we should have recorded it, man. We should have recorded it. And in my mind, I kind of knew those things are best as memories.
Yeah.
So I go to the kitchen and I see a bowl of General Tso's chicken. I'm like, man, that looks so good right now. First time I had the munchies, I'm like, damn, that looks amazing right now. I'm looking at the fried rice. I was looking at like a culinary piece of artwork. Like, I was giving it qualities that it shouldn't even have. Like, man, that.
You know, like Chinese food out there in Middle Connecticut is fucking on point, son.
Culinary piece of artwork. He just coined it.
It was a fucking frozen dinner. General who, by the way? I didn't catch it.
So I was like, yo, that food looks so robust right now, so bold. And, you know, and I looked at it, and so I take the bowl, and as I'm turning to head back to the living room, I see a box of Captain Crunch. And I look at the captain. I was like, man, I want some Captain Crunch. And I go, well, I got to pick one. You know, I got to do either Captain Crunch or General Tso's. And then a part of my brain goes, and the voice in my head is kind of like a thug, like the guy. You know, people have a voice in the, like, my guy's a thug. He's like, yo, son, fuck the rules, kid. Fuck the rules, B. You're going to eat both. You're going to eat both. And I took a bowl of Captain Crunch, put some milk in it, and then I dumped the General Tso's chicken.
On top of it?
On top of it, dude. And I stirred it.
Why couldn't you eat both
Good
separately?
Lord. I stirred it, dude. And the thug in my head is like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Look at that brown sauce in that milk. Yeah. That's how you do it. You put that captain and the captain and the general are working together.
Oh,
they are in league to maximize your opportunity. So I eat it, So good. The cold milk with the brown sauce of the General Tso's chicken.
Ugh.
And then
I mean I'm with you. Side by side, I'm like, yeah, fuck
that's fine. Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
But in the milk. I mean, my stomach's turning.
It was so good, man. It was so good.
So good.
So I was like, oh, this is fun. This is fun. So I do it, I smoke again.
You've been court martialed anywhere else with that.
General's like
the general been the like, break, nah, dude. Man, fuck this. You ain't put my chicken in milk.
Time up.
But I tell you, dude, it was the cold milk and the it was delicious. And then the next morning, I wake up with a stomach ache, whatever. But I remember,
Of course you did.
I remember how good the food was. That's what I took away from it. It wasn't the high. It wasn't the cipher. The fact that I'd rhymed like a genius.
Didn't matter.
I remember how good the food was, and I said, man, this is something that I want to do again. So I do it again, and for whatever reason, I get paranoid. Anxiety. You know, my paranoia was that the cops were after me.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I'm the guy with, like, no record, you know.
No car.
I wear flip-flops. No. I wear flip-flops in my own shower. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that says a lot.
That really does. That's telling as fuck right there, dude.
I don't trust myself. That's all.
Yeah, I bring flip-flops on the road.
Do you keep the flip-flops in the shower, or do you take that walk into the shower with them?
My father said keep them right outside that.
Right? Put your boots by the shower.
I need boots by the door. And so my father was also big on me being dressed. He was like, make sure you dressed, you know.
Did your dad iron?
My mom was kind of like a traditional housewife. She ironed. My father didn't iron because he was a super. So he just put clothes, whatever clothes. Yes. But for me, she ironed. And my dad was always big on me being dressed. He always wanted us dressed. He could walk around half naked, but we had to be dressed in case something.
Yeah.
In case something happened, he had this rule about if somebody breaks in, I need you guys clothed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing I need is to have you guys, you know, something happens and you're naked outside. You know, we can't predict the weather. It could be cold, hot, maybe spring.
That's what he's worried about.
So we always had clothes to the point where, like, when I started dating and I, you know, like my girl now, it's like, it's always a thing where they go, why are you wearing a t-shirt and long pants and socks to bed? You know, you want to wear some shorts and maybe like a tank top? And they're always surprised. And then it has a whole backstory about my dad. And you could tell they want me to stop doing it, but they kind of go, it's tied to crack and violence.
Yeah, they don't want to fuck. Yeah, that's right. They don't want to fuck with that.
But I've made small adjustments. I'll put some shorts on maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, occasionally.
I'm the opposite. I just started wearing clothes to bed.
Why is that?
I mean, I never wore clothes to bed since I was like 24. And then recently, I was just like, I guess I'll start wearing shorts.
Is it because you have a sense of shame now? Like, man, I got to get myself together.
No, I think it's like just the kit. Like, if I got to get up, I mean, I just don't need to be, you know, walking around, you know. I don't know. I've just been
dick
doing
all
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Down the hallway. Like, I'm coming, guys.
Yeah.
No kid wants to see
Dad's
that.
Coming. How do you know? I hear flapping.
Slap, you know what I mean? Dragging on the floor and shit.
Oh, hey now. Hey now. So humble, Jay.
What else we got on there?
No, so the clothing, so that's my dad, dude.
That's one of the things I remember when I saw your set was the character you do about your dad. So, but you got one on here about taking him to restaurants.
Yeah, my dad's a big part of my act. My brother's been creeping up more so lately. My brother's a salsa instructor.
Great dancer. I watched the videos. Like,
yeah,
that dude
man.
Can fucking move.
He's a dancer in New York. He's really good, charismatic, sharp, just like... you know, kind of, he has a nice textured style of salsa. It's not the flamboyant type. It's more gritty and textured and Bronxy, for lack of a better word. So he's creeping in more to the act now. He's coming up. I have a lot of stories about him too. He's just he's a weird dude. He's on my Instagram. You can see him laughing, Vlad. He's every time he shoots, he does a little dance number. I put it up.
Nice.
And he's a beast. But my dad is a big part of my act. And I took him to a restaurant. You talk about the restaurant thing. And my father calls the waiters by the tip amount he's going to give them.
What do you mean?
So he doesn't tip past $10. That's the other thing, too. Like, he won't go past 10 is his max. He doesn't care what the bill is.
Percent or dollars?
Dollars. $300 bill. Then he calls him by the amount he's giving him. So he's like, you know, he sees the guy. Oh, yeah. $10. Come over here. $10.
Say that?
Yeah, I'll say that.
$10.
And,
but at what point in the dinner does he know what they're getting and start calling them that?
So if you do a bad job, it's $5.
But when has he decided that, like, no, I don't have water, like, right away, like, there's no water, there's no bread, like, is he jumping on it like that?
He kind of goes by the season. So if it's like Thanksgiving
season
the season, if it's like a holiday, if it's like a Sunday and he sees people in church, he's like, I'm going to do a $10 tip today. You know, it's like there has to be like a context going on. But if it's just a regular Tuesday, he'll do like
Tuesday.
Yeah. He typically sits with like $5. And then he makes a big show about it. You know, the guy comes over. He's like, oh, yeah, come over here. $10, come over here. He just, you know, shows it around like a king. And he
Holds it up.
Yeah, he holds it up. Like, $10, you know, and the guy's like, thank you. You know, you don't brag about it.
On a $300 bill.
Psycho.
And he's so proud and he's so happy about himself. So that's what my dad's weird like that, but he's oddly adorable. You know, yeah. that's the balance. He has that durability to him. You just laugh like, all right, $5 bill on a $200 tab. All right, I guess that's okay.
Does he support your comedy career? Is he into it? Does he come see shows? Does he mind that you talk about him?
My father does not mind. He's always amazed at what I pick out about him. Because he's so entrenched in his own personality, he doesn't realize he does things.
Totally.
So whenever I talk about him, he goes, yeah, I do that. Damn, that's...
Yeah, your kids are a great mirror.
That's crazy. Yeah. You know, my father does this thing whenever... If he's caught in a lie or he can't find the words to something, he'll just throw out numbers.
What?
So my mom will come home and be like, you know, what time did you get home last night? Hey, outside, 4578. the guy came over here 2345 and the 4578 1 + 1 = 3 and he's doing, you know, he just does it so long he doesn't realize he's doing it, and then I point it out and he's like, man, I do that. That's like,
but he does acknowledge it.
He does acknowledge it.
He doesn't deny it.
My name is Vladimir, and he can't pronounce it, so he calls me Blah. He goes, Blah, man, God, Blah.
He named you.
How can you not say it? He goes, Blah, man, come over here, Blah. 2345, let's go.
Oh, is he a baseball fan?
Huge baseball fan. Mets? Hates the Yankees.
I mean, in the Bronx and hates the Yankees.
This is why he hates the Yankees. Two reasons why he hates the Yankees. My father, when he was a kid in 1965, the United States occupied the island. And we, at that time, we would call the Americans Yankees. Mm-hmm. Go home, Yankees. That was the phrase. So my father just doesn't like the name because he associates it with that invasion. And the second reason he doesn't like it is because he feels like baseball has gone away from the working man.
It has.
The tickets are outpriced in New York. You know, it's like all hedge fund managers. And so he feels like it's not a working class sport anymore. And what pisses him off is also the players, they're paid a lot of money, but they don't reflect that working class mentality anymore. Like my father saw a picture of... Giancarlo Stanton, it was like him half naked, like the ESPN issue, and he was like, water was hitting his nutsack to cover it up. And my father looked at
like
it.
Like a big splash.
Yeah, it was a splash on his nutsack.
Okay, yeah, I don't.
My father gagged. Because his idea of a baseball player is...
Mickey Mantle.
Just like not so in shape.
Yeah, right. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth, maybe a little gut. You know what I mean?
Boop Powell.
CC Sabathia.
Sabathia. Yeah. Oh,
that's his kind of type. CC Sabathia.
Oh, that's how you really say it, huh?
That chunky dude, mustard stain on the shirt.
Clemens was like a pot belly big
Clemens.
Boy. Yeah.
That's my father. That's my father. That's the poster. That's what a baseball player should look like.
Roger Clemens. Red Sox Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
Not the Yankees. Roger Clemens. Yeah.
So that's my father hates the Yankees because he feels like he represents everything that's anti-working class.
Gotcha.
Hates the Yankees.
I'll call him. Giancarlo Stanton's a pretty amazing dude.
He's killing it. Well, Aaron Judge.
Judge set a record the other day. You see what he did?
No, what'd he do?
He struck out a doubleheader. He set the record. 8 strikeouts combined.
No one's ever done that, ever?
He K'd 8 times in 2 games in the same
day.
All
strikeouts.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he struck out 8 times the other day. It's a record.
Whoa.
2 games combined in a doubleheader.
Wait a minute. So has he had a game since?
I don't know. That was the doubleheader was a couple days ago or something like that.
Dude, I hope he's not having one of those things. Like you hear those baseball players, like the pitchers, like for whatever reason they can't pitch the next day.
Oh yeah,
and they just can't get it back.
I'm sure he'll be all right. You know, he might.
It's
have
not like
rough
he
day.
Grounded out or popped out or.
No, he struck out 8
struck
times.
Because you know what I'm worried about? This is what I'm worried about. Like, what's happening is they're studying those tapes.
Yeah.
These pitchers are studying the tapes. They're looking at what he hits, how he hits, when he hits.
Yeah, I know, but they've been doing that for years.
It's not just the pitchers. I say this all the time. It's also there are excellent coaches, batting coaches, pitching coaches also that are picking up little tells and shit too. They know. They know if you're a sucker for that fucking low and away slider, and they're going to throw that shit nowhere near where you're going to hit it, and you're still going to swing.
Because when it's that bad, when you key out that, like, you're setting a record for strikeouts.
Yeah, but when you're a guy that hits that many home runs, you know.
You put panic in them.
What, are you a Yankee fan?
I'm a Yankee fan for reasons
of... He's just wearing that because of New York.
Oh.
My manager, Chris, would be laughing. He hates the fact that I have a hat on because I don't follow baseball. But the Yankees to me represent the Bronx.
Yeah.
And they represent New York, so that's why I wear it. Because I grew up in the Bronx. It's the neighborhood I'm from. So I consider the Yankees sign more of a Bronx thing than it is a baseball team.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you like other sports? Are you into basketball?
I just got back into basketball. Did the Golden State win?
I didn't see yet.
Oh, shit.
I mean, Cleveland was up with like 3 minutes to go in the third by like 9, and they were down 2 at the end of the third.
Now we got to check, man, because...
Golden State 110-102.
Wow.
Golden State won?
Yep. Up 3-0.
They lost at home.
That's over. No. It's 3-0.
Oh, wait, Cavs. They were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The Cleveland lost at home.
That's right. Yep.
And the irony is LeBron was in the same position. Not too many. Wasn't he down 3-0?
Yeah, but he had like a top 10 player on his team in Kyrie. You know what I mean?
I mean, dude, every article I read in the morning, because I have an iPad Pro now.
Ooh.
And
I don't know what that means.
I got an iPad. What does it do?
What does that mean?
So, like, it's funny because I'm a little new to money. Like, I'm not, you know, I got more money than I used to have before. So, like, I talk like that sometimes. Like, you know, I was reading my Kindle. Like, those little phrases.
Yeah,
come
right.
So, I'm reading the news. I would say at least twice a day I read an article about how LeBron is by himself and the other players are complete shit.
Yeah.
Like, they have that tone. And I'm like... These are elite athletes.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that...
Not even close.
You don't think so?
No, not even fucking close.
To get to the NBA, Jay. To get to the NBA.
I understand that. But then to get anywhere, to get to the finals of the fucking thing, there are going to be people that, you know, just excel. I get what you're saying. I say the same thing I was saying the other day. Like, oh, man, Hood, Rodney Hood, or whatever that kid's name is, he needs to step up. That kid used to be nasty in Utah. He's shit. The other team...
He's NBA shit, though, is what his point
is.
Yeah,
that's... Exactly. He's right. Shit. The Golden State Warriors won a title, and then they got some people say the best player in the league in Kevin Durant. They won a title. They have 4 All-Stars on their team.
Who LeBron may seriously James, go to the Hall of Fame, for real.
Yes, 4 guys Potential. That might go to the Hall of Fame. And LeBron has who? You want
to
fucking
Tonight
take...
Tonight he threw it up
like
off
Kevin
the glass
Love,
to
but
himself.
He's, yeah, Kevin loves being used wrong, but then who? Fucking... Larry Nance Jr., get the fuck out of here. George Hill, get out of here.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith making way too much money. New Jersey fucking trash. And then you got fucking, who else? Tristan Thompson, your 6'9 center? No fucking way, dude. LeBron is the best player in the... He's insane. And the fact that he's doing all that by himself.
But I just always laugh when civilians, just the way they write about these guys, like as if they're like complete... They're the lowest form of filth in the universe. The way
like
they
write
about them,
the right
I mean, they are just, they should,
totally.
just wipe themselves with toilet paper because they're just the worst thing that they could.
By the way,
and I'm like, dude, you're a sports writer wearing khakis.
Jeff Green. Jeff Green is defending Steph Curry, probably the top 3 hardest players in the league to defend. And Jeff Green, it might retire next year because he's so fucking old. What do you think it's going to be at any competition at all?
How old is he?
He's like 36. In the NBA, that's ancient. I'm just saying, bro. But there was another point.
Because Malcolm Gladwell has a podcast called Revisionist History.
Mm-hmm.
And in his one episode, he was talking about how sometimes not the player, it's the where they're at. And he was talking about, I think
the
his
environment.
Name is, the environment and the coaching staff and the players, like Oladipo, I think his name is.
Oladipo, yeah.
I think he got traded recently, right?
He played in Orlando last year, and this year was in Indiana, and he like totally bloomed.
Total, complete different player.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder, like, we hate on these players so much, and we don't look at the greater context.
But that's what the whole thing they're saying about Rodney Hood is he was fucking nasty in Utah, but now, like, since he's gotten to Cleveland, like, he's kind of, like, taking a couple steps back, and they're saying he doesn't like the pressure of playing with LeBron. Like, he doesn't mesh well because LeBron is such a fucking, like... control freak, and like some people just playing with LeBron ain't easy. You know what I mean? Some people don't want to do it. Kyrie didn't want to do it, and he was like, I'm out. It's the same reason he won't go to Philadelphia, because those young guys are gonna be like, we don't want to play with him. We want to start our own thing.
It's the same reason why I saw the Uncle Drew trailer.
Uh-huh.
The movie that's coming out with Kyrie Irving where he's playing a old
I just saw a billboard
and Shaq,
for that.
Right?
And I'm looking at it going,
Tiffany's in it. Everybody's
in it. Norrell's in it. Shaq, Chris
Nick
Weber.
Nick Kroll's in it.
I think it's going to do well, dude. The trailer looks fun. But I'm watching it going, damn, you think LeBron didn't want a little role in the movie?
He's too busy.
You think so, man?
I mean, if you're going to be taking a team to the championship, you don't have time to be doing movies.
P.S., he's part owner in Manchester United. Yeah. Okay.
The soccer team?
Yeah, bro. The soccer team.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Then it's either Liverpool or Man U. He's invested in one of those two teams. He put $7 million in. His investment is now worth $35 million. He also owns Blaze Pizza, bro. Okay?
I've never heard of Blaze Pizza. What is
There's one in Culver City, son.
Is there really?
Yeah.
He owns it?
Like a rapid pizza.
He put a million bucks in it. It's now worth $25 million.
The pizza joint?
Yeah. Well, like his investment in the chain.
He made $24 million on that thing
so far,
and $30 million or almost $30 million on the soccer team. God damn, he's good off the court too.
Oh wow, you know his Maverick Carter dude makes plays with him, but KD too. He went to Golden State, to get in the tech. Like he has so many, like he's dialed in the tech world up there. He's invested in like four major things. Like I can't remember right now, but like it's like Lyft and like PayPal or something.
That's why he went
to.
That was one of the reasons why he went to Golden
State. That's what he said. And because he's a Bible thumper and loves to get down with freaking Steph and Draymond. You know what I mean? Like when they played on Team USA together, they just all like, they're like, oh, you love church? I love church. And they were like, let's all get churchy.
Wow. No, I didn't know because I was
sorry to give out all this information.
No, it's fine because I was watching a Shaq thing on Real Sports on HBO, and Shaq made like an insane amount of money off that Amazon Ring, that doorbell.
Oh yeah,
really?
He invested in that, and then Amazon bought it out. He made an insane amount of money.
I'm sure, yeah.
Then he also he's part owner or he owns a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah,
Shaq. And then he's just the general insurance. Like the amount of money Shaq makes. He makes more money now than he did
playing.
I think.
Stupid.
Did you play sports growing up?
I was a basketball player in the hood. Had a sick handle.
What was your handle?
I could dribble.
Big Mike.
I could dribble.
What was it?
It was Big Mike.
I don't know, but I just love that you. But I think handle. I know what you're talking about. Like you could dribble, but
Vlad the Impaler.
I had sick handle, dude. I was like, I would surprise you with how well I could dribble the ball. People would look at me. And
is this rec league in the city or is this just pickup in the city?
This is pickup in the city. Never played formally. I made the varsity team 1 year in my high school, but they had me on the bench. And
you didn't play soccer? Your dad didn't have you playing soccer?
Well, Dominicans play baseball.
Yeah.
And I tried playing baseball, but I didn't like the uniforms.
That was it?
The tight, it was so tight.
I don't merge and I don't wear tight unis, y'all. Got it? Right, listen up.
Listen, I was a chubby kid, man. So what happened is I didn't like the way I looked and fitted clothes. I was a chubby kid and I remember one time I went to a basketball tournament and they didn't have any jerseys. So they were like shirts and skins. And we landed on skins and I literally left the gym.
I love these that we landed on skins.
Dude, I literally went. I sat down, and I just like I pretended I had this restroom. And I just went home. I just left. And then the next day they were like, "Yo, what happened, dude? You were part of the team. It was shirt skins." I said, "Yeah, man. I just something that wasn't right. I didn't feel right. I felt like I couldn't execute. You know what I was supposed to do?
Yeah.
That day. I didn't want people seeing my body. So that's why I also didn't like baseball.
Hmm.
So I played basketball and. I get to college. I go to Wesleyan Division III school, and I decided to try out for the team. And I was good enough to make the JV team because the coach had told me that. But in one of the practices, I got a pick and roll done to me. Someone picked me. So I was guarding this guy, and this guy picked me.
No one's ever said that.
What?
No one's ever said
done
that.
To you. Oh man, he did me. He did a pick and roll to me. You were guarding.
No, I said like I was a victim.
I know.
Sounds like you were.
Could you imagine me in press conferences? I would just sound victim-y at the press conference.
What that coach did to us tonight
was uncalled for, disrespectful, and completely condescending. So I got picked, and dude, it was a big dude. His name was like Leo. I think it was Leo, 6'7", something like that. And just boom, and I'm about the time I'm about 5'8". 140 pounds, and I was leveled off a pick.
Yeah.
And just ran you over.
Ran me over, dude. And I get back up, and I finished the game, but I was like, I'm done.
That was it? That was the end of the basketball career?
I said, I'm done, man. Because if you can't take a pick, which happens basically every play.
Yeah, well, sometimes you're moving full tilt and you don't see it.
Oh, man. When I tell you my body flew, dude. My body flew. That pick came hard. That pick, it was like one of those, like,
is he about to dunk? Nah, he's got picks, man. Easy. Look at him. He's going to
pick himself off the motherfucker.
Hey, man, I love it, but you know when you know.
I knew when I knew, and there's a book by Seth Godin called The Dip, and he talks about quitting at the right time.
Yeah?
He talks about, it's a really good book.
It's okay to quit.
Quitting is, there's a time to quit. There's a time not to quit. It's called The Dip. So The Dip is that point that people... The dip is sometimes the point where people quit at. And if you just stayed longer, you would actually have some success.
Gotcha.
But then there's also the dip that people never get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay too long, you just stay in the dip and you just basically have sunk costs. And it's knowing when to get out. Having the honesty to, like, kind of say, this is not the right fit right now. I'm better at this or I'm better at that.
I mean, I bet that translates well to the stock game. Nah, I'm going to ride this out right here, baby.
Stocks are the biggest mystery, dog, because it's a casino, and nobody can pick stocks. I do index funds. I just buy the market.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. My old boss Jeremy taught me that.
That's what I got. Yeah. Same.
Index funds. I just buy the market. I don't touch an individual.
Yeah. What's this about sneakers right here? What is this?
So I'm always worried by people about this. So I'm
a sneakerhead?
Somewhat of a sneakerhead. I've died down the past year or two.
Well, I mean, you're wearing Skechers right now, so really toned it down.
I got on some Adidas Boost right now.
What
I'm caged.
How many do you have? How many pairs of shoes?
I have about 30 pair.
Damn. What's the most you've had at any one point?
This right here. This is the most 30? I've had.
30. How do you keep them by the door?
It's just like a shelf, man. He's got a tree. Shoe tree over there. Like.
Bookcase.
I keep them all in there. But I paid... I'm just curious to know what you guys think about this. Cause, like, I paid $600 for a pair of sneakers. The Jordan 11s, the Concords.
My first car cost $500.
That's my point. And I bought them. So I did Kimmel. I did Jimmy Kimmel back in 2017, I think it was. And I bought
them. Back a few months ago. See, it was back in December of 2017.
You mean 6 months ago?
let me see now. Let me see. I remember. I remember. But Obama was president. I remember that. And we're going back now. We're going. The first Avengers had come out. This is the first now.
First one.
It's the first one now. Where they had.
Did
Hawkeye.
I mention the director went to my school?
See, now we're going back. I remember listening to Wu-Tang, and they were playing on the radio, and I knew they were nothing to fuck with. That's when I knew that we are going back.
Oh.
But now, so we going back, and I bought them for the Kimmel
$600. But were they like a special order, or was that a store? Were you walk into a store and you can buy them at that?
I just went to a store. I think it was Flight Club, or some other store. And I bought these the Jordan 11 Concords because when I was in high school, we couldn't afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, when I get any kind of success, I'm buying those sneakers.
Nice. That's tight.
Jordan 11 Concord.
So is this a store like Supreme?
It's like one of those. It's in that vein of like, it's
undefeated
and, aftermarket, yeah, okay. But they have all the exclusive stuff. But it's starting to die down. I don't know if you guys are sneakerheads. You guys buy kicks?
I mean, I used to, not anywhere near 30. I mean, 5-6 pairs I would have. Right. I mean, that's it. I can't wear them anymore. I can't wear my shell toes anymore or Pumas or Vans or anything anymore.
Why not?
I have Adidas right here now. I finally got out of fucking New Balances because my feet are just so fucking bad. My back is bad. So I went to this doctor and he's like, and I was watching everyone in that field wear New Balance. I was like, God, you're all on your feet all day. They must be good. And they all swore by it. And they were good, and they made me feel really good, but they were also stiff and rigid. So then I just started ordering a bunch of shoes that were free return, and I found these Adidas that I'm wearing that I've had for, I don't know, about 6 months, and these things are fucking awesome.
Are those Boost?
They might be, actually.
Those
I don't know.
The sock ones you just slip on?
No, it's not quite the sock.
It's got like a hard thing around it, and but the bottom is like a Goodyear tire or
Continental.
Yeah, Continental tire tread, and so that probably is the boost. And it's got the real wide base on it because I strike out and roll in, and I would get ones that were designed to. For people who would strike in and roll out, and I'm like, I can't walk in these goddamn things. So I just keep shipping them back until I finally found. And these right here blow those New Balance away, and they're lighter, they're sturdier. I feel great in these shoes.
What do you wear, Jay?
I mean, I was always an Adidas head growing up because I couldn't afford Nikes. These are Adidas. I got these in Houston.
Oh man,
these glow in the dark. P.S. These are limited edition.
Do they glow in the dark?
Yeah, they glow in the dark.
Jay got on some like exclusive Stan Smiths.
Now these are
what are those?
They're called Slam Jam, but they're made with like this design company. Those made are for dope, Adidas. Man. They glow in the dark. I didn't even know. But you know how many times I've watched
you these? You mean for
real? Yeah, they glow in the dark. Green. You know what I mean? Like,
are you telling me your sneakers are phosphorescent?
You know, that's exactly what they are.
Phosphorescent.
That's exactly the word I would use. And I didn't know.
I like them, huh?
I bought these in Houston, man, when we were doing the Come and Take It Festival.
You mean it's just a happy accident?
And DVK are out freaking watching football. I'm out there. I went to a cigar
That's
lounge.
Right, we were, yeah.
I went out and I bought sneakers. I bought some clothes for my kids. And then I met up with these guys. These are the sneakers I got. And I didn't know. I just bought them because they're like terry cloth, Adidas, like Stan Smith looking things. But made by this thing, they weren't super expensive, like $130. And I was like, oh, I love white sneakers. I only wear them on stage. And then one night I'm coming home for a show in L.A. and the house is asleep and I'm walking down the hallway and in the end mirror I'm like, holy fuck, these shoes glow in the dark.
Those are dope, man.
Thanks, man.
What are they? I'm gonna go on GOAT after this and see what the aftermarket price is on those.
I think they might. I mean, they might still have them at that.
Dude, you
store.
Strike me as a gentleman.
Thanks, man.
You strike me as a gentleman. Like the way you plan your day, you got a cigar.
Well, that was like when I'm on the road, I like to do a nice day. I'll go get a nice coffee, have a cigar at the lounge. I watch some football. I knew I was going to meet up with those guys later. Did a little shopping. Went into a couple like home goods stores, you know what I mean? See if there's anything for the house.
I like that.
Fun, man.
Sound like a gentleman.
Do it.
Sound like a gentleman.
Well, you don't get to do it when we're home. You know what I mean? It's either like it's work, kids,
yep,
work, kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
exactly
just like that on repeat.
Is.
You never have a chance to just like go out. If I'm going to smoke a cigar in L.A., it's going to be at night, and I'm going to get home. My wife's going to be like, oh, my God, did you have a cigar? Go take a shower. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go take a shower.
Yeah, dude, I'm a coffee snob on the road. Like, I try to find the coffee place per city. Sometimes you can't do it because of the whatever. It's not part of the culture there. But you do cigars. I do coffee.
I do like to get a nice coffee, too.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But I'm trying to get off it, man. I'm trying to get off.
What is it, anxiety? What's going on?
No, just like just dialing it back a little on the caffeine.
You're changing, dude. You weren't closing bed now. You're not drinking coffee no more.
Well, this was just 2 days.
What's going on, Jay?
This is the last 2 days.
What's going on, dude?
I go through phases with the coffee.
I'm worried about you.
You know what I mean? I've been
making it home. Be beautiful.
I know. I'm changing, man. Nothing better for me than making a nice coffee at home.
Yeah.
And I do a French press.
Keep all the oils in there. I like it.
And then go outside and have my coffee while I water my garden. That's like the thing. And now, since I stopped, it's been like the last 2 days, I just go out there and I just do it and get out of there. And it's just like, I like sitting. I like it when it's cold out and overcast. It's been so cold and overcast lately.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Hate the sun.
It's always
San Antonio. It's 115 out there, son.
I know. It's going to be hot as hell, dude. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. We get there tomorrow. It's going to be hot over there. So we'll stay indoors for the most part during the day and come out at night.
What are you doing? Are you giving a press conference? He's giving a press conference like the game plan.
We're going to circle
back. We'll probably get up in the morning around 8:30 and lay in bed still.
We'll probably watch out for the heat index and make sure we SPF up 15 minutes before we head out into the sun and reapply every 2 hours.
I'll head out to the show about an hour before and then... You're killing me. Dude, some of the guys at the Comedy Store are like crazy sneakerheads paying like $1,600 for kicks.
Yeah,
man. A couple guys in there, like Chris D'Elia, sometimes I'll catch him with some sneaks.
D'Elia, Kevin Christie.
I just learned about Supreme. My stepson was like, we had gone to see the Muppets over the summer, and he's like, swing by this store on Fairfax. It's closed, but he's like, look in there. I was like, is that like Undefeated? He's like, yeah, but.
It's probably Fly Club.
Yeah. So. There's a regular just plastic water bottle, just a squeezy drinking water bottle that you get free at a lot of fucking shit, but it's got Supreme on it, and they sold it for $120.
Yeah, dude.
$100, yeah. just a regular $3 in fucking Target.
What's
squeeze
going on?
Bottle.
What are you doing?
I'm squeeze bottle. I'm squirting in my, I'm squirting in my mouth right now.
I'll tell you, Pictionary.
It's the kind with the cap. Yeah. You know, they'll slide that little piece up. It's $120 just because it's got that name brand on it.
Have you been to Bodega in Boston?
I have not been to Bodega. I think I saw a pop up booth. My friend Damon and I went to this Complex Con thing, and I could have sworn.
What's that?
Complex Con is this. Complex Magazine does this like.
Is that a sneaker magazine?
No, Complex. It's a Complex. It's a magazine.
I've seen it a bunch, but you know what? It's a great question. I don't know how I would classify Complex Magazine. Is it pop
it's complex,
culture?
Man.
It's very complex to tell you.
It's an online magazine, I would say, but they cater to like you know hip hop. I would say urban urban news. And they were there. They had a conference, and you know, Wiz Khalifa was there, Action Bronson, a bunch of other people were there. And I think they had a booth. They had booth, and a couple of the, I think Bodega was there. They sell clothes, right?
No, it's just a sneaker store, but it's literally a bodega.
Yeah,
like a shitty fucking bodega, trashy. Looks like a bodega. That's it. You go over to the Snapple machine, the Snapple fucking case, and it opens up, and you walk in the back,
no
and
shit.
It's like a pimped out sneaker store.
Yeah. Oh, that's tight.
Yeah,
you been?
I have. We tried to do it on this show. I used to host this like travel show, Best Bars, but they wouldn't allow us to show on the air how you get in.
Why?
Because that's part of what they want the store to
that's
be is
lore.
This place that you just don't know about, and you just, you know, and like you know, I thought that was pretty dope that they were like, "Nah, we're good. You can come do it. You can come in, you can be in the bodega, and then you can be in the sneaker shop, but you can't show anyone how you get through." And
I like that.
I do too. I think that's
cool. I still would have shot there and been like, you know, we're not allowed to tell you how we got here, which I think actually that's a good promotion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But is it like an escape room? Like,
yeah, man. Once you get inside before you buy your sneakers, they give you a list of shit and then you got to fucking, it's whoever's
you
got
to get up to the roof and get a key from a raven and then come on down. And,
have you done an escape room?
I was going to do one with my girl, but we didn't get to it.
Jeez,
I've done two. I love it.
I love
it. It's fantastic.
It is so
which one did you guys do?
I had no idea. I just looked one up one night. There's one a block and a half from my place. Right by me. There's one right there.
Really?
I went with Jen. Jen went on one night with us. She came. Her and her roommate came one night to one. But there's two in that same building. And I did one with Gallagher and Josh Adam Myers and Jason's sister one night. We all went. And we solved that one in like, I don't know, I think it was just under 50 minutes with three clues. And she said for newbies, like people, that was really fucking good. I did the next one. It took us almost a whole hour, but we finished it with only two clues. And the first one was like a sort of a presidential office, and this senator was missing and all this shit. And turns out he's in a cult, like a door opened up into another room.
Jeez.
And stuff.
Awesome.
And then there was a poker one that led to this like utility room. And then in that room, there was an elevator shaft. And then you had to come back out into the poker room again. But it was all like fucking with the blackjack tables and, you know, putting the numbers right and the pictures. Everything matters. Everything matters.
That,
well, not everything, but.
So what is it like? Is there a time limit?
Yes, it's an hour. Normally they're an hour.
Yeah.
And then I did it and it was like a post-World War I and this guy was setting off a nuclear bomb and you had to get stop it. And it's like you'd find wires and then these wires connect to other things. And then you'd find like under a rug, you'd find this like plastic sheet that if you put over something would give you a map and then the map would correspond. It's fucking dope, dude. It's the most fun
that's great
you can have. It's the most fun you can have, like, without, you know, just having fun with people. And then they had this thing
it's
where
the most
like
fun you can have having fun with people,
you know.
That's, I think that's their slogan, actually.
It's right on the door. They have this thing where a woman comes in. Like
we've done the research, trust me. This is the most fun thing
you could do with people.
You do with people. They had this woman who worked there who comes in and like she's got like a fake knife, but you have to take her down and then you have to use like another fake thing. Yeah,
no.
Dude. Yeah, man, we had to fucking kill this chick.
Dude, this is a trap house.
That's
right?
What a lot of people think, though, that like there's people jumping out of doors. It's not like that at all.
What do you mean?
I'm playing, but it was dope. That everything else up to that was real.
Yeah, you have to. You
the
know,
most
so
fun you can have.
You can check into, you know, the lady be like, you're at 15 minutes. And we're like, are we behind? She'll be like, you're right on schedule. And then we got to one point where she's like, you guys are pretty far behind now. And we were like, all right, we'll take a clue. And that one clue helped us because we had you're spending all this time in the room. It helped us just go bang, bang, bang. She goes, you guys just caught up. You're back to call schedule.
There was one thing where you had to get a key. There was like this plastic. It was like a case, and there was a key down the bottom, and there were holes in the plastic, and you only had these like two little sticks, and you had to get the key, use it, move it up, yeah. stick in with another stick. Like there was like physical challenges. Like yeah. you had to use your brain to figure out. Oh, dude.
Cards, numbers, all kinds of shit.
Dude, letters, shapes, a lot of different scents.
What happens if you don't?
It feels like Indiana Jones.
Just run.
What it feels like.
And if you win, what happens?
Nothing. You just
get stoked.
Get a pat on the back and a picture and
shit.
Dude,
you have no idea the fucking tension and the exhilaration that when you're in there, you're just like, you're going, you're moving, you're working as a team. What do you got? You're on that. What'd you get? Like, someone discovers something. Like, what do you think it is? Oh,
the other thing they do that I really appreciate, too, is that something toward the end, they'll hang a key right in front of your face. But the whole time, you've been looking behind the lamp and over here that you just don't see it. You just don't. And you find out a lot about people, too. We were laughing at Gallagher's sister. Or it wasn't his. Yeah, it was his sister. And she goes, a key! You know, some people, they get all excited. They're all in.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, all right. You really find how people find how their brain works and everything, too. Like, someone will do this. You're like, oh, that was really good thinking to do that. And you just see how people think differently and work together. It's fun.
Because they have the Mummy escape room up in Hollywood. I walk by it all the time. The movie The Mummy, mm-hmm. they have the escape room. I wonder what the thing.
Oh, I bet that's dope.
Yeah. And then I've walked by a couple of escape rooms. I think I'm gonna do.
You gotta do it, dude. It's fun. It's worth it.
But my thing is, how do you figure out who's leader?
That sort of settles
all
itself.
All that stuff just starts working out, and like people will take the lead. If some people are good at things, you know, that's you like all right, you handle that.
Also, real quick, you'll be like, all right, you're not a good leader.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, just you don't really need a leader. Everybody works together.
Cause I get petty in situations like that. I get real petty.
Dude, I'd love to see that.
I get, if we're together, like I like both of you guys, so I wouldn't mind either of you being a leader or myself, whatever. But if I don't like you for whatever reason, I just everything I hear you say it's condescending. You know,
you don't have time to do that, bro.
You don't think so?
The clock's ticking away, and you're fucking. You just
60
go.
Minutes go so fast.
You just go, man. When the clock's ticking and you know the fucking world depends on you before that bomb's going to go off, you get it done, man.
I mean, is there a way to make that into a TV show?
No.
Escape room. No.
I mean, it would be fun to watch, but it'd be maybe celebrity escape room or
that's
something
what,
like
that's
that.
That's the only way you do it because all people want to do is watch. They don't want to watch them. Nobody would escape out of a fucking room. They want to watch The Rock do it. You know what I mean?
The Rock.
They want to watch people have game night.
Yeah, you're right.
I heard it was good. I heard game night was good.
Jane Lynch hosting.
No, I'm talking about the TV show.
I thought you meant the movie.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure it's
good. Oh.
Isn't Bateman in it?
Bateman's in it.
It's enough.
I heard it was...
Yeah.
I heard Bateman came from like acting trap, like royalty. Doesn't he come... I misheard that.
Well, Justine.
Yeah, family ties.
Shit, Justine Bateman, dude.
That's his mom's sister?
That's his sister.
Yeah, they came from like... Yeah.
Sharon Bateman, dude.
He's killing it.
He's got great hair too. Good lord,
great head of hair.
Who does?
Jason Bateman.
Oh yeah, he does.
Great head of hair.
Well, we're there, brother. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, this was great. This is great. Talk present. This is great.
This is great. It's glad to finally get you on here, man. Will you one more time? Your social media, anything, your dates, whatever you want to promote.
Social media is Laughing Vlad, LaughingVlad, everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
.com?
LaughingVlad.com is also the website, and all my dates are there, my videos. Yeah, so check me out at LaughingVlad.com. Look at some of the clips and... hopefully, I'll see you guys again.
Great. Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming on. This was fun.
Thanks for having me, man. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, dude.
I've always said that, even though everyone says differently about you guys, I've always said you guys are awesome.
Appreciate that. For sure. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.